This. Hey, have you seen his Instagram?
They need
this Felger and Mass.
They don't use crack enough.
On 98.5.
Yeah, not really.
The Sports Hub.
Welcome to the program. It's Felger and Maserati here on a Thursday, and we are coming to you live from the Seaport Hotel in downtown Boston as we are here as a part of the Christmas in the City annual fundraiser. We're happy to be here. How you doing, Maz?
Good. I get married in this building.
No crap.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. I get married in this building, yeah.
So my condolences, Natalie. This must bring back some very painful memories.
Yeah, this is traumatic for her. She walks into the building. She starts breaking out in cold sweat.
You poor girl. My condolences. Saw some prayers to Natalie, but so this is where it all happened.
Oh, yeah. No, I might as well have cut off an arm and a leg in this building to pay for it, too. But that's all right. No, they did a great job here at the Seaport. Fabulous. In all honesty, I got nothing bad to say.
We got Maz and Murray alongside. And again, we're here for Christmas in the City and their fundraising event, which begins tonight at 6 o'clock. We'll go to 7, so we'll spill over about an hour into the event, and we're talking a lot of sports today. We got to get to the Nate Evaldi thing. We're going to do some Celtics today. Patriots are always welcome, and we'll get to that soon, but I just want to sort of set up what we're doing here today and why we do it in Christmas in the City in the first place. And you've probably heard us talk a lot about it now. So I think it's our third year doing it, and so we've been at this now for a couple of years, so you've probably heard me say this. If you haven't, I just want to explain to you what Christmas in the City is, because it's a charity that we've associated ourselves with, and I think it's really a nice, pure little charity, and that's just how I would describe it, Maz, because there's a lot of charities that there's so many worthwhile charities, right? I mean, the work you do with the Children's Hospital at Tufts, right?
Exactly.
I mean, and there's just so many worthwhile charities, and the Children's Hospital charities, Beetle does one, and obviously, the Dana-Farber stuff and the Jimmy Fund stuff, all that stuff is so valuable. And this one is different in that, you're not really saving lives. You're not really doing something like that. It's really just a very simple thing, and that is providing Christmas for kids who don't normally get it. So it's a smaller gesture, if you will, but sort of a direct gesture, because it's all Boston kids. It's just a Boston charity and the surrounding area. And basically, it's the brainchild of Jake Kennedy and his wife, Sparky, and he'll come on and tell the story later on today, but basically they got to a point with their kids, I believe, that, they want to drive home the message of what Christmas is. And it's not you just getting gifts, it's giving.
Giving.
Giving. So they decided to hold a fundraiser to provide a Christmas for kids in their neighborhood who don't have it, or shelter kids maybe in their area. And it's just grown into this massive thing. It's been 25, 30 years, and they now have it. It's a day-long celebration, and it's a massive just sort of winter wonderland there, where they rent out convention space. And it's not just sitting on Santa's lap, but it's full meals. You bring in the mothers of these kids, and they can not only, again, get meals, but he brings in hairdressers, and they can get, like, full makeovers. There's performances, Blue Man Group, again, like rides, and just anyone who goes to this thing can't describe what it is and how big it is. And the best thing they do is they actually go around to shelters and homeless shelters and foster homes and get Christmas lists from kids. Those are kids who don't know what it's like to wake up in the morning on Christmas Day and have presents underneath the tree. It's just not in their world. It's not in their life. They don't know what that is. So that's basically what Jake does. He tries to provide that for these kids, and he will go around to shelters and foster homes and get Christmas lists from these kids, and as best as they can, fill at least some of those items on that list and set it aside with their name. And so when these kids show up on the day of the party, they've gotten something from Santa. And it is a 100% volunteer organization, 100%. There's not a dime that goes to administrative costs or to pay for anything. So you know that every dime that you spend here with Christmas in the City goes directly to this endeavor. It's local, okay? So it's all the Boston shelter kids, their surrounding areas. For example, I was just told that they're going up to the Merrimack Valley this year because of the gas explosion and all the families that were displaced up there and all the kids who were displaced up there, that they're going to gather all those kids. And they bus them in. All right, so they have hundreds of more kids this year because of the Merrimack Valley thing. They're going up there to get all those kids. So what we do and we help them do is raise money and toys. Toys. It's a toy drive and a money drive. And this annual fundraiser here at the Seaport is their biggest, it's their most important event. So the public is more than welcome. They're $30 at the door, $10 for kids. All that money goes directly to the Christmas in the City. They want toy donations as well. If you could bring $30 and a little toy, that would be amazing. Okay, but whatever you can contribute would be great. Just so I don't keep rattling on, you know, paddling on. Is there anything you want to add in here?
Well, no, I just count me in the list of people who has always taken it for granted. And I think what you forget is that there are lots of kids out there who don't have Christmas, and so that's what this is about. I think we had said this a number of years ago that this is about giving Christmas to people that otherwise wouldn't have it. And so we just all sort of chalk up, here comes Christmas, and you bitch about going out to, you know, the jams at the malls and everything else. And the reality is that the day, there is nothing like the day, particularly if you're a kid, that waking up on that day and even the anticipation of Christmas Eve, that time of year is unique, it's special, it's something you look forward to on the other 364 days if you're a kid. And so this is for those kids that otherwise wouldn't have that. And that is, look, I mean, again, I tell you, I'm the first one to take it for granted.
Oh, man, me, I don't like Christmas, personally. Or, you know, I haven't. I even propose that we treat it like the Ryder Cup every other year because, you know, I don't get it or I didn't get it. And it's not about, you know, all the pain in the ass stuff. It's about giving to someone else and giving something to someone else. That's what it's about. There's the Christmas spirit. So here we are. This is what we do. So if you can come by the fundraiser today, it would be great. $30 at the door, $10 for kids. If you can bring a toy too, that would be great. If you can just stop by with a toy, they'll take it. They'll take whatever you got.
And we are in the main lobby of the Seaport Hotel.
Main
for
lobby.
Those people who are, you know, who might have missed the beginning of the show today.
That's right. Main lobby of the Seaport Hotel in the Seaport District of Boston. There's also some stuff that you can win and come away with. There's live auctions. Like, for example, here's a good one. 4 tickets. Celtics, Grizzlies, second row from the floor.
Ooh.
Jimmy Stewart knows those well. Jimmy Stewart, that's where Jimmy Stewart lives.
So do you. No, that's right. I'm sorry. You don't know those because you sit in the first row.
Jimmy's usually behind me. It's true. But Jimmy Stewart, that's Jimmy Stewart. You know how, like, there's Henrytown at the Red Sox? That's Stewart Town down there. Second row seats for Celtics, Grizzlies.
I'll make sure I duck so that you can see over my fat head.
$150 gift card to El Molo?
Il Molo
restaurant. They're auctioning off 2 tickets to Red Sox opening day. See them raise the banner.
Oh, that's a good day to go.
How about that? That includes a $200 gift card to Tony C's. How about 2 tickets to the AFC Divisional Championship game?
Oh.
Okay. I think that means the divisional game. Do they call that the divisional championship?
No, divisional playoff.
Divisional playoff.
Because we know the Patriots will be in it by default. Yeah.
So 2 tickets to the AFC divisional playoff game. These are 4 rows from the field. If they don't make the divisional game, I don't think that's going to happen. I'm sure they'll swap out for the wild card game or
it's
whatever
the
case may be.
The tomato can.
Yeah, the tomato can game.
Yeah, and a free case of tomato soup.
That includes a $100 gift
that's
card.
A joke.
Yes, $100 gift card to Davio's down there. They're auctioning off 2 tickets to Fleetwood Mac, the Garden. 2 tickets to the Nutcracker with a special appearance by
Cordero Patterson.
Cordero Patterson. Yeah. And some Blue Man Group stuff, including a signed spin art canvas and premium orchestra seat. So those are the live auction items. They also have a raffle for things like overnight stay here at the Seaport, massages, stuff like this. Gift cards to Tony C's, $100 gift cards to pronounce that before I butcher it.
That is Temazcal Tequila Cantina.
There it is. Okay.
Amigo.
Gift cards to Davio. Things like this. So there's raffle items as well. You can come by and see us if that, floats your boat. Maz loves meeting the people, taking pictures, things like that. So you can come by and do that. One other way you can help them raise money is the day before the event. Okay. This is December 15th. They throw their Winter Wonderland open to the public. Okay. There's a cost, and I forgot to ask how much it is. Jake, how much is that day before the thing? $20. Something tells me he just came up with that as I asked him. $20. Make a donation is what's important. Come by on Saturday, December 15th. $20 at the door, according to Jake, but I'm sure they'll take whatever you got and toys, and you can experience that Winter Wonderland yourself. Okay, the Christmas in the City truly is for the foster kids and for that, and that's like invitation only. I mean, it's they coming round you up and bring you in. But the day before, if you want to experience it with your family, for the public, and again, all those proceeds, everything that you don't donate at the door, money or toys, goes straight to Christmas in the City. One more thing to tell you about two more things to tell about quickly. Tony and I will be at the Natick Mall. Tony and I will be at Newbury Comics at the Natick Mall.
Just like we have been for the last couple of years.
On Saturday for like the third straight year, we will be there meeting, greeting, taking toy donations, and monetary donations. So come by to the Newbury Comics on Saturday, this Saturday, 2:30 to 4:30 at the Natick Mall.
Murray will be there as well, I believe, right, Murray?
That is correct.
Murray, yes. Stu, I hope, I don't mean to push Stu into it, but whoever can come by will come by. You'll get the Felger Maz Principles one way or the other. So we'll be there at the Natick Mall Saturday, 2:30 to 4:30, Newbury Comics. Finally, Felger Maz are having an online auction starting next Monday. Okay, an online auction next Monday. Again, all benefiting Christmas in the City. Souvenir memorabilia items, for example, like a Troy Brown signed football, a Bruins team signed stick, framed Julian Edelman photo from the Boston Globe, and what I think is a pretty nifty gift, a Felger & Maz show sit-in. Now, again, this is not just a viewing opportunity. We don't just shove you in the corner of the studio or in the control room and let you watch, which is usual what we usually do.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
You get to appear on air.
You actually get to talk on air.
For a segment. It'll be your segment. These are show sit-ins. So you can be the lead host. You can be a co-host. You can just sit there and let us ask you questions. You can sit there and fart into the microphone if that's what you want. I mean, whatever.
Which is basically how Zoe does it.
Okay. This is your chance to take us on, agree with us, do your own thing, take calls. Do we even still have a text machine?
No.
No, we don't.
Oh, we don't even have a text machine, do we?
Boy, it's been so long.
Thank God.
Whatever. Let you read emails. Whatever you want to do. Okay? So we're going to auction off, Kelly, what do you say, 4 or 5 of them?
Ish.
4 people. Okay? So 4 individual show sit-ins.
Yep, 1 per hour, she
okay?
says.
Okay, 4 individual show sit-ins. So those are 4 prizes. The 4 highest bidders get to come in on a week from Friday. Okay? We want you all to come in one day, and that is Friday, December 14th. Friday, December 14th. So that particular auction item is going to go just Monday to Wednesday. So you have 3 days to bid on the show sit-ins, and we'll put you on the air on the 14th of December. Okay? So there's my big Christmas in the City plug. The 12-minute plug. I think it deserves it. Okay? We are here, though. We're going to do a show. We do a regular sports show, and we have to get to a bunch of stuff. I said Celtics. Patriots always welcome. Jimmy, you can open up the phone, 617-779-0985. Whatever you folks want to talk about, we're going to start with the Nathan Eovaldi signing by the Red Sox overnight. We'll get to that. Your thoughts, Nathan Eovaldi, $17 million a year. How do you feel about that signing? Again, 617-779-0985.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Miss something?
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Mass.
They suck.
On Boston's home for sports.
Down he goes. A strikeout for Eovaldi as Bregman is now 0-for-4. Second time they've struck him out tonight.
Dropped down a little and threw the riser at 102. Yeah. Four-seamer. By Bregman.
102 miles an hour. 102. Bregman comes up late in the game. Eovaldi goes 102. Sit your ass down. Post that on Instagram, bitch. Like, that's what that was. I love that. That, to me, was one of the great moments of the game. Oh, did I love that. After that whole thing, here's Bregman in the box. Here's Eovaldi on the mound. Elimination night. 102. Suck on that. They wouldn't throw him a fastball the whole series. 102, you can't hit that. Sit your fat ass down. No. Oh, I loved it. Oh, God, did I love that. 102. When's the last time a Red Sox pitcher threw 102?
That stuff usually comes home to roost.
What a bullet. Oh, my God. Sit on that one, bitch, and spin.
So that was Tony Maz. The night Red Sox clinched the ALCS over the Houston Astros. I don't have the date for you in front of me, but
October 19th.
Late October. October 19th. 2 months later. How do you feel about the Nathan Eovaldi signing?
Too much money.
Seriously.
You are unbelievable. Too much money. Look, I was caught up in the emotion of the playoffs at the time. I get into the postseason, all right? In every sport, like, it's the one thing you live for in this job is the playoffs. There are so many games all the time. The playoffs mean everything. And I wanted Eovaldi back. I wanted him back. Who didn't? We all did. We valued the competitiveness, the ability to perform under pressure, the sheer just aggressiveness with which he pitched, right? Throw caution to the wind. Here it is. I'm going with my best stuff. Air it out. And I'm going to beat you. Like, it's impossible to not love that. And I love every second of it. The contract? Outrageous.
It's outrageous?
For that player, outrageous.
Why? Explain.
In this day and age, not outrageous. The best pitcher in the game is making double that.
Okay, so is it outrageous or not outrageous?
Okay, it's outrageous. It's for him.
You just said in this day and age, it's not outrageous.
For him, it's outrageous. Okay, so I'm not saying that in and of itself, a $17 million a year contract is outrageous. It's not. I'm telling you, for him, he's not a $17 million a year pitcher. Not even close. He's about, you know, I was stretching to get to 13, for crying out loud. I thought he was a $10 to $12 million pitcher, and I said from the beginning.
What do you base that on?
His history.
Sub 500 record ERA over 4.
Yes, he's extraordinarily mediocre, and he's been hurt a lot. So
do you think he has extraordinarily mediocre stuff?
No, but he's always had a plus fastball. So that's his ability. His fastball has never been in question, ever. His durability's been in question. His secondary stuff has been in question. Like, and those are big things. So I thought Rick Porcello was overpaid when they paid him. I don't think he is now, looking at it. But I would also tell you that Rick Porcello makes 30 starts every year. He's automatic. So at the very least, you're going to get volume from this guy. I have no idea what they're going to get. Now, I know what they'll get if he's on the mound and he's healthy and he's locked in. But let's not forget that when he – and let me make this clear. I wanted him back, okay? I wanted him back. And this is one of the great half-ass cop-out jobs of all time by me.
No, I encourage it.
So I wanted him back, but the contract for that pitcher is stupid. It's a stupid contract.
Stupid.
It will not debilitate them because they're the Red Sox and they can afford it. But I'm telling you, if we are going on the idea that a player is worth X and that's what he should get, this guy's overpaid.
Yeah.
By a lot. Probably about 40%.
I agree with you. He's probably overpaid, but I think it's a win-win because I thought he was the most important piece to bring back, and you keep him away from the Yankees who are sniffing around him and were likely to give him this kind of money.
So, but this is my point. Is he really the kind of guy that he scared me in the postseason? Does anyone think he can repeat it?
No, you hope. You cross your finger and you hope. I think that's what they're...
I guess this is what my issue is.
Yes, I do.
His stock right now is at an all-time high.
No, but
it will never be higher than it is right now.
But the exact thing that he did with the, you know, 7 innings of relief in that 18-inning game or whatever, like, I mean, I can't tell you, like, step for step he'll do the exact same thing. But I think with his stuff and his makeup and his versatility, he should be a postseason weapon for you for the next several years.
If he stays healthy.
If he stays healthy, sure.
And I know that's a risk with every pitcher, but the track record of durability problems with this guy is so long. He's bounced around. You know, how many teams he's been with now? 4 or 5 already in his career? And I just look at, and again, it's
Can't you make the case that he had his breakthrough?
Sure.
And that he's now going to be a different guy going forward?
You could also make
the case. And isn't their job to forecast that?
You could also make the case that he was one absolutely extraordinary flash in the pan. And when I say flash in the pit, that's not fair either because the ability is there. But that he will never come close to replicating what he did this year and in the second half of the season and in October. You could very easily
Okay, but...
So which is why, though, I think the contract is nuts.
Okay, but that's an all-time sort of thing. I mean, the expectation shouldn't be that. The expectation should be that he helps you in the regular season and then he's used as a weapon in the postseason and that he thrives in that role.
Agreed.
He doesn't have to do exactly what he did last year.
So when this guy first went to market after they won, and I remember we would have the discussion, and you said something to the effect of, this guy's going to get $20 million plus a year on the market. And I remember thinking, no way. Not that much.
Came close.
No, right. I thought the number was going to be closer to 12. You were right.
Thank you.
Like, your guess was better. Thought, no way. This guy will get 10 or 12 million. He made $2 million this year. He's never been that durable. He's got no real track record of success or durability, nothing. He'll get to the market. Someone will offer him 3 years and 25, and then some jackass will come out of the woodwork and give him 4 and 50, and he'll get $12.5 million a year. 4 and 70 or 68 or whatever the hell the number is? That is crazy. That is a lot of cake for a guy like that. And again, I know the market's out of whack, but so I guess this is part of my issue. What is he?
So
is he a number three starter?
What
is he a setup man?
What if he replaces Rick Porcello? They'll both be on the team this year, but this is Porcello's last year of the deal. So they're on the same team now, but then the year after, Porcello's gone and Evaldi effectively takes his spot, and you've just saved $2.5 million.
Worth it.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Can he be Porcello and make 30 starts a year?
I wouldn't bank on that. But maybe when it counts, he can be even a bigger weapon, though. I mean, but maybe he can just be, you know, if he's not making 30 starts, but he can still be a third, fourth starter?
I have my doubts. I have enough doubt about this guy where it makes me nervous. And again, they're the Red Sox. They can afford it. I'm not telling you they were stupid to give it to him because I like the guy too. And I just think there's an emotional element in this contract for obvious reasons because of what he did for them in the second half. $17 million a year for this guy is too much money.
Okay, your reaction to the signing, as promised, to your phones. Cam's in New Hampshire. Hi, Cam.
Hey, guys. Two quick things on a bolt and then I'll hang up. First of all, if they didn't get Evaldi, do you think there'd be any chance they take another look at Kimbrel? I know they're pretty much out on him right now. But if they didn't get Evaldi, do you think they'd take another look at Kimbrel? And second, kind of referring to the Porcello thing, now does it kind of set us up for trading Rick Porcello this year and getting maybe another bullpen guy and starting Evaldi? I know he's not.
Okay, good. Well, I mean, that's a good question. I said next year, Porcello's off the books and Evaldi's his replacement. Do you think Porcello's in play right now?
Sure. Yeah, I think that they could go in a number of ways. So because they're going to have to make some decisions here. They can't sign everybody. So the question then becomes with someone like Porcello, is the 1 year worth enough to you to try to repeat and he'll help you? Or do you think you can be just as good without him if you trade him for something cheaper? And multiple pieces, a couple of relievers or something, whatever, right? But I don't know what his value is with 1 year left on the deal anyway. I mean, he's got value, but I don't think you're going to get a king's ransom for him or anything of like that. My instinct is that they are going to keep Porcello and that they're going to try to keep their pitching staff intact and make another run at it. Because this whole thing was built on a short window, so why compromise that now? Like, okay. I think that's the way they're going to go.
And I'll answer his first thing. I don't think Kimbrel's in the cards, whether they had Evaldi or not. I think he's
out.
Kimbrel's independent of anything else they do. It's not like they're saving money for Kimbrel or the money they spend on this guy won't be used. He wants too many years on top of anything, and so I think that's the component. It's not about the money. It's about the years.
Yeah, see you later. Kimbrel's gone.
Okay, once again, Felger Maz here from Christmas in the City, their annual fundraiser at the Seaport Hotel. Come on by. This fundraiser starts at 6, so we'd love to see you at 6 for the fundraiser. $30 at the door, $10 for kids. Bring a toy, please, if you could. But even before that, anytime between now and 6 o'clock, if you can't make the fundraiser and you're just in the neighborhood and you have a toy, you want to donate some money, come by. Because everybody's here, everyone's getting ready for the party, everyone's going to be ready to go, and they will absolutely, a couple bins right out front for you to accept your toy donation or your monetary donation. So we'd love to see you at any point today. The fundraiser begins at 6 p.m. For details and everything I've told you about today on Christmas in the City, go to christmasinthecity.org. Okay? Here's an update from Murray, and we come back right to your reaction to the Nathan Evaldi signing. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Back to your phones and the reaction to the Nathan Evaldi signing by the Red Sox. Maz does not like the contract. Mike and Danvers, what do you think?
Hi, how you guys doing? Maz, you're a baseball guy, and I got to disagree with you on one thing. With Evaldi, it's not the fastball that makes him great. It's the off-speed stuff that makes him great. Anyone can square up 102-mile. Devers did it. You can square up 102-mile fastball, especially in the big leagues. So that's what makes him so effective. Now, the other thing...
Yeah, that
we don't
cutter. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, and now the other thing, don't forget, we made that big mistake with Rich Hill. We had Rich Hill. We didn't sign him. He went on. He's done pretty well. I don't want to make that mistake again with somebody who has that kind of ability. That's the other thing I wanted to say. So I think it's a good signing. I'm happy with it. And isn't it refreshing that we finally reward players who has done good things, right? How often does that happen in Major League Baseball? So I think that's a good thing.
Okay, yeah, you know, thoughts and prayers to those Major League Baseball players who just can't seem to get a fair shake.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, you know,
because the poor guys.
Oh, yeah, the Red Sox have never rewarded anybody.
No.
No Hanley, Sandoval.
No, those baseball players, they don't. They've had a tough go of it. Never mind these kids that don't get Christmas. That MLB Players Union, those poor chaps.
I see those guys out there with buckets and bells, no, all Salvation Army guys, all for the MLB guys all winter.
It's good to see them finally getting their due, because Lord knows, they've had a tough go of it.
So look, now, in the case of Evaldi, I'm happy this guy got paid. Okay, he was making $2 million. Not that that's anything to sneeze at in the real world, but in the baseball world, that's less than half the average salary.
No, good for him. It's a good story.
Okay, so he came, you know, he's a guy who's hung around a long time and never really hit it big, and he hit it big. So good for him. Like, that part of it's hard. And if you want to talk about his stuff, the caller's right. The cut fastball and the off-speed stuff, the combination of all of that is what made him that good for them, particularly in the postseason. None of it exists without the 102. I'm sorry. So... you know, it all plays off that 102. I just believe that it starts there. And I'm happy for the guy. I'm happy they kept him. But if we're talking about the contract, it's outrageous that a pitcher like that, with his track record, his history of injury more than anything, that guy is getting paid that amount of money is outrageous.
Does it concern you? One of the reporters and one of the reports was that there wasn't much competition. And I can't remember who had that, but, you know, Heyman has been reporting it. The guy in Milwaukee was like the first to report it.
Was it Mark Feinstein of MLB.com?
Thank you.
Feinstein, yeah.
Stu, what did he say?
He said I want to paraphrase the tweet as saying the Red Sox were pretty much bidding against themselves.
Yeah, so it's one of those things, that there wasn't much competition for him. I would say that that's a big concern, except the last time they did that, and I blasted him for it, it was J.D. Martinez. So it's like, you know, their success last year makes you a little gun shy. Makes me a little gun shy. You, God bless you, Maz. But just because they're bidding against themselves doesn't mean it's a bad signing. But that would be a concern, that there was no one else in that range for him.
Yes, absolutely. And I question how valid that was. Like, I think this guy had value. I think there
was. So you think Evaldi had a market?
I do.
Well, here's the tweet.
I don't know if it was this high, but he had a market.
An executive from a club believed to be in on Nathan Evaldi said he had heard Boston's closing in on a deal, adding that in his eyes, the market is really just the Red Sox at this point. And that's just a bitter executive that lost out on the player.
Yeah.
I have to believe that he would have been a great fit in Houston.
Oh, my God.
So, or New York.
Yeah.
I'd take him on my team any day of the week. You know, but that's the difference. The Red Sox can afford to overpay him, a team like the Brewers or, you know, whoever, they can't.
I mean, by definition, any guy in the free agent market is going to get overpaid. He's going to get overpaid because you're going to have to go above what he's worth to get him. That's sort of how the market works. I get that. I'm just telling you that the durability is what should concern people more than anything. We all think Evaldi can help them in some role. Is he going to hold up? This guy's elbow has been shredded twice. Twice. And it feels like Dombrowski has no fear of guys with injury history or injury or potential.
Well, this is true.
I mean, he does that a lot.
Jeff in North Andover, your thoughts.
Hey, Felga, how you doing?
Good, Jeff.
Wondering how Tony's going to react when he realizes you make more money than him.
Oh, I learned that a long time ago.
I don't know what you're talking about. What's your thought on the Red Sox?
I think Evaldi's a solid pitcher, and he should be rewarded. We won, you know, the World Series. This guy should be paid, and I think Maz must be running out of lip gloss or lotion over there behind the screen. Thanks.
Okay. How you doing on gloss and lotion, Maz?
Well, I got chapstick in my pocket. It's not lip gloss. It's chapstick. And in fact, I was thinking during the break of asking someone in the hotel if you could get me some hand cream, because my hands do get extremely dry during the winter. which is why I'm like constantly like grasping at them.
So the Red Sox, so like, I mean, I just sort of expressed it. I mean, last year I blasted them for bidding against themselves on J.D. Martinez. And that was a bad contract and a bad signing. That blows up in my face or anyone's face who criticized. So now here we are again with a player that it was really, according to that Fine Sand thing, a market of one, or they, you know, they outbid everybody for a guy with a questionable past. And don't you have to give him the benefit of the doubt now, Maz? Isn't that fair?
No. You don't have to give him the benefit of the doubt on anything. You judge everything on a case-by-case basis. I was wrong on J.D. Martinez. So, like, I just try to treat it all case by case. And I don't know, maybe I've learned a lesson. Maybe I'm this is a cop-out and I'm walking the line a little bit better than I did a year ago. So, but I'm telling you that I like the player. I like the idea of the player. I like the versatility of the player. But this particular guy, given all the elements in play, is not worth 4 years and $17 million. Am I upset that they did it? Am I angry? No. Of course not. I want the Red Sox to have as many good players as possible. And Eovaldi was an absolute force and a weapon for them in October. And that is a tremendous value. I just, you know, to me, you're paying this guy almost blind with the idea that he's going to be able to do something that he's never shown he could do before. Not for any length of time.
And you're just talking durability. 200 innings, 30 starts, things of that nature.
Absolutely.
Okay, we've got Colby in the car. Hi, Colby.
Hey, Felga. Hey, Maz. So, it's not my money. I don't care so much about the signing. But you're going to overpay him because of his playoff experience this year. But you got to pay him an extra couple million just for what he did against the Yankees, almost like a Yankee specialist. Thank you. I'll hang up.
Okay. I think that's a great point.
It is a good point.
All that right-handed power there?
Yep.
I mean...
It's a good point.
He's an excellent weapon against them.
And I would say even Houston.
Sure, I mean, absolutely. Mostly right-handed, isn't
it? Yeah. If those two teams are, you know, going to be your primary competition, and they are, and just add them all up, Stanton, Gary Sanchez, Aaron Judge, and then Houston, Bregman, Correa, Altuve, Springer, they're all right-handed. Every single one of them right-handed. So those are right-handed heavy lineups. This guy ate them all alive, particularly the Yankees, and so there's great value there. I'm just telling you, I don't love the 4 years and the 17. That's all. So, I, you know, to me, if you're asking me to objectively judge the contract, gross overpayment. And, by the way, when the Red Sox signed Dustin Pedroia years ago to his first contract, it was $7 million a year. I thought, what a great deal. What a great deal. Sign me up. And Pedroia got all, you know, pissed off about it to suggest that he had somehow taken a team-friendly deal. So I would
piss off at you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm the villain. I'm the enemy.
And you have that effect there.
Yeah, and I would tell you, as it turned out, I was right about the contract. I wanted the player too, but I was right about the contract. In this case, I'm telling you, the contract for this guy is outrageous.
Outrageous.
Outrageous. This guy in the real world and any other given year, the October performance inflated this guy's value so much that you know, the Red Sox were ultimately probably willing and forced to give it to him. But if you take that out, if this guy had hit the market without October.
Oh, yeah. He'd be just a guy.
Totally. He gets not even half of what he got.
Probably.
He probably gets a 2-year deal for $15 million. And so that's why I say the number is out of control.
If Madison Baumgartner and Andrew Miller hadn't done what they'd done in the postseason, what would their salaries look like?
But those guys also have shown some level of durability and consistency.
But guys get overpaid on a run like that.
Yes.
He ain't the first.
No, but this is an extreme case. Because this guy was a nobody when the Red Sox picked him up. He was a nobody. I mean, to the average
fan. Yeah, no, he was a nobody.
Yeah, in the baseball world, they knew him. Well, Eovaldi's got a great arm. He's got potential. When the Yankees had him, he had great potential. But he just never really tapped into it. And finally, this year, it clicked. What are the chances that happens again?
We continue with your reaction to this signing. More information on the Christmas in the City fundraiser tonight here at the Seaport, which is where we are. So we'll love to see you come by here, donate some money or a toy, stay for the event if you want, all of that. All details at christmasinthecity.org, but that's where we are. Seaport Hotel for the Christmas in the City annual fundraiser. Talking about Nathan Eovaldi, more your reaction on that next. Also, where do the Red Sox go from here in the bullpen issue as well? Right to that after these words.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What can we say about Felger and Maz that you haven't already screamed in your car?
Sit on that one, bitch, and spin.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Mike Felger.
The loser.
Tony Maz.
Chicken Puppet.
Jim Murray.
He's got the sunglasses.
And those other dopes.
It's time to spin the wheel of doubting jerks.
All season long, the world champion Red Sox were mercilessly mocked by local media members. And now, Red Sox fans get to spin the wheel to decide who gets punched. And today's doubting jerk is...
Ollie, you f***ing losers.
Felger and Maz from the Seaport Hotel for the Christmas in the City fundraiser. Open to the public. Come on by. Starts at 6. If you want to come by earlier and donate some money or a toy, they'd love to see you. So we're available all day for donations. That was Murray's post-World Series follow-up to the Wheel of Gutless Bums.
I learned my lesson, at least when it comes to Dave Dombrowski. I mean, he had a great year. What was the one move that kind of sucked? Ian Kinsler? So with this overpay or slight overpay for Nathan Eovaldi, I'm not going to doubt it. I wanted them to bring him back.
Does Dombrowski deserve the benefit of the doubt?
I think so.
Okay, so let's never question anything he ever does again. No, all right.
Considering the recent track record, Maz, and you wanted him back anyway, it's just a slight overpay. That's all.
Yeah, no problem. It's good. Whoever he wants to sign is good with me, Murray. What do you guys want to
talk about? Pack it up. Nothing left to talk about. Good job, Stu. Well, let me ask you this now. On the heels of the Wheel of Gutless Bums and the Wheel of, what was that? Media jerks.
The Wheel of Doubting Losers, I believe it was. Forget, it was a few weeks back when I made that.
How do you feel about their bullpen right now?
I think they still need another arm. I think they're one short.
I thought I was going to get a sucks.
Well, no, I wouldn't go quite that far. You know, Kimbrel to me is a loss, at least during the regular season, so they got to figure that one out. I don't know, maybe that'll be Eovaldi, although I like the idea of him ultimately being in some sort of swing role. So I don't know, maybe that's a question. Where do you start with Eovaldi? And to me, I think I start with him in the rotation. Go there, see what you can get in the bullpen. You can always move him there if you have to. It's easier to do that than the other way around.
Okay. You're not paying him 17 to be a reliever. In the postseason, you use him all over the place, and that's the postseason.
What if he's your closer?
That's baseball. I think that would, well, it's a nice fallback. You don't pay a closer $17 million.
Well, I mean, that's the going right now.
It is?
Sure. Wade Davis gets $17 million a year.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind then.
So
you're paying him as the best closer in the game, and he's never done it.
Okay, right. So, no, to me, it's. I think you start with him as a starter. You begin with him as a starter. And then you see where it goes. But they still need bullpen help.
So what do you do if you're Dombrowski in the bullpen?
I mean, to me, the aside from keeping the guys they had, and I think we all thought Eovaldi was a priority, and they've now kept Eovaldi and Pierce, they could use a power lefty arm in that bullpen. And there are a few guys out there. Andrew Miller's out there. It might be a short deal because of his history. And so maybe, you can go, you know, that there are guys like that. And there are a few lefties on the market. You know, and I've been so focused on other things that I don't know who has signed and who hasn't, but I don't think a lot of guys have signed yet. So Doolittle's out there. There are a bunch of lefties who throw hard that can get strikeouts for you. And to me, I would make that a priority. If I'm the Red Sox, they could use a good lefty out there. And then go in with what you got, whether it's Brazier who's closing or Barnes who's closing. I'd prefer Brazier because he throws strikes more consistently. I like that. I'm okay with beginning there and then seeing where you are. And if you have to add to your bullpen during the course of the year, you add to it. But what they're beginning with in the bullpen right now is not enough. Not for a World Series champion.
Any other team needs in your mind?
I would say overall nothing dramatic. I mean, you might want to get some, you know, I was going to say fill in your bench a little bit. As always, you could always entertain the idea of moving someone like a Swihart.
Nunez is still here, right?
He is.
Okay, so Pedroia comes back, but there's your insurance. It's Nunez.
Correct.
Are you okay with that?
Yeah. To start, yes. And you still have Holt. You know, you still have Zhu Weilin in the minors. So, I don't often say this when it comes to the Red Sox. They don't have a ton to do.
They don't.
They don't have a ton to do. They had a great year. And when they won in 2013, I thought they got complacent and that they assumed that that model was better than it was and it really bit them in the ass. But this is totally different. This is a younger, better nucleus, a better team. And so I don't think they need to tweak a lot. I think they really need to try to keep the whole thing together. The only thing I would say that they should look at is if there's someone they know they can't sign, then you got to think about moving up, breaking off a piece like a Bogarts or someone of the like. But they have so much invested in this window, I don't think they're going to do that. And so overall, there's not a lot there, Mike. To me, a lefty in the bullpen would be it.
Okay. We continue with your reaction to it. I want to get your reaction to it. We'll be back to your phones here in a second. Just want to remind you, we're at the Christmas in the City annual fundraiser at the Seaport Hotel, okay? The fundraiser begins at 6. It's open to the public. $30 at the door, $10 for kids. They'd also love to see you bring a toy, if you can do it. And again, 100% volunteer, 100% goes to Christmas in the City. There are no administrative spinoffs or anything like that. It drains off your money. Your money goes 100% to the charity. During the fundraiser tonight, starting at 6, there's some great auction items, live auction. For example, four floor seats, basically, second row from the floor for the Celtics and the Grizzlies. This is where Jimmy Stewart usually sits. Okay, you can get a floor experience, that fancy Putnam Club seat experience down there. The game's Friday, January 18th. Four tickets, okay, second from the floor for C's and Memphis Grizzlies. That also includes a $150 gift card to Il Molo. We're auctioning off two Red Sox seats to opening day, which is not just another opening day because the banner goes up. Okay, that includes a $200 gifty to Tony C's. They're offering two tickets to the AFC divisional game, two tickets to the divisional game, the tomato can game. It's usually a Saturday night. It's usually a blowout. It's usually a fun take.
Brought to you by Campbell's.
And Dan Shaughnessy. This includes a $100 gift card to Davio's down there. Two tickets to Fleetwood Mac will be auctioned off. Two tickets to the Nutcracker. You select the date. And again, Cordell Patterson is available to attend.
Guest appearance.
We got four tickets for the Blue Man Group and a signed spin art canvas. You know that thing they do where they take the canvas and they spin it and whatever. They'll sign that for you. That's part of it. These are premium orchestra tickets, so you got to bring a poncho because you get wet for that thing. That's some live auction items. There's some raffle items as well, so that's a great way for you to help Jake Kennedy here and the folks at Christmas in the City raise money and toys for their event coming up. And again, christmasinthecity.org has more details. If you don't know what Christmas in the City is, it's basically a massive Christmas party for kids that don't get it. They do a really great thing. They go to numerous dozens of shelters, foster homes, and pick up displaced kids who don't know what Christmas is, and they bring them into Boston for an amazing Christmas party. And it's much more than that, but that's the long and short of what Christmas in the City does. Thousands and thousands of kids benefit from this every single year. So we'd love to see you help us out. With that, there's the pitch. The update is right here with Murray. 90 seconds, no commercials. I'm right back for more of your phone calls.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.